If you will, turn with me in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. I'm going to read a little bit here. It says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he hath taken under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits." Go to verse number 12. Verse number 12 in Ecclesiastes 1 says, "I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart, saying, Lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." In chapter number 2, he said, "I said in mine heart, Go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all they that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." And we'll stop it there. Lord, pray that you be with us in this message, Lord, that you push the preacher out of the way. Lord, speak to our hearts and our minds today, God, as we look at Solomon's life, as we look at a successful life, yet a seemingly empty life, Lord, let us find the answer for our own lives in which we struggle, Lord, to make it day by day, or where we may succeed, Lord, and do well. May we ever turn to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Now, King Solomon is known as preacher here in Ecclesiastes. He wrote the book of Proverbs, and he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. He was the wisest king to ever rule in Jerusalem and probably in all of mankind because God gave him his wisdom. And reading through the Bible before, and I would get to the book of Ecclesiastes, and it just... I'm going to be a little honest. It's kind of depressing. And you see, a man has tried out everything. He had the capability. Solomon had the gold. He had the wherewithal. He could do whatever he wanted. And he said, "I applied all of this, and I had all of these things, but it's all vanity." I was reading this and I was questioning, well, was this early in his life or was this later? But we see it's later in his life. He's looking back in Ecclesiastes 1:12. He says, I, the preacher, was king over Jerusalem, over Israel in Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. Now, Solomon was the son of David through his marriage with Bathsheba. We know all about the story about David and Bathsheba. We're not going to go into it today. But Solomon was a result of that marriage, but God was blessing through Solomon's reign. If you remember, David was a man after God's own heart. When we look at the book of Kings, because we've been, when we look at the book of 1 Samuel, because we've been kind of working up from Judges, if you remember, we've worked up from Judges. They said, give us a king like all the other nations. Give us a king to judge us like all the other nations. And I didn't go into it, but God gave them Saul. Saul was head and shoulders above everyone else. They looked at him and said, oh, here's a king. But he didn't rule in a righteous way. He offered the sacrifices instead of waiting on the priest. He didn't do what God commanded him. And when he did do what God commanded him, he only did it halfway, and then he still wouldn't take the blame for doing it, for not doing it right. So God said, I have found me a man after mine own heart. And David was a man after God's own heart. Now, Solomon wrote the Proverbs, and he wrote Ecclesiastes. Much of the book of Psalms is written by David. I know you know that. But when we read the Psalms, we see a really different picture of a man. Look with me, if you will, at Psalm 144. And I really could have just grabbed just about anywhere, and we'll probably grab a couple others. Psalm 144. And we see David's, in David's writings, we see hope. We also see trials that are taking place. David went through a lot of trials. David had a life where when he was young, he was the youngest of them. When it came time to bring out the sons for Samuel to anoint a king, because God sent him to the house of Jesse, and he said, I have a man after my own heart there. And Jesse goes through him, and he gets to one of the sons, and he says, oh, surely this is the king. He's used to looking with his eyes. And the Lord says, no, God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And Samuel said, well, there's got to be another son. He said, well, I have yet one more. David was little, and he was out. He wasn't even thought of very much. He was out there taking care of the sheep. When the time came and the army was facing the Philistines, and his brothers saw him come out. His dad had sent him to bring a lunch. The brothers said, why hast thou left those few sheep? David was unimportant. And I bring up David's life because I want to contrast David and Solomon. If you're looking for specific points, you're just going to have to ride along on this sermon. You're not going to be able to get the outline. But David and Solomon, you know, you can contrast the two of them. David had a hard life. But David had a faithful life. David stood there before Goliath, and that had to be a frightening sight. For a young man standing there with a sling and stones, and we see his faith, and we see him going out. You know, how he can't talk to the army of God that way, and he goes out there, and he was probably brash and strong, but he stood there before Goliath towering over him. And he faced that, putting his faith in God. He put his faith in God when he was taking care of the sheep, because he talked about there was a lion and he fought him because he was trusting God's hand. And then David, he already knew that he was anointed to be king, but he goes to be in the palace with Saul. And while he's in there, Saul begins to turn against him. Saul begins to, he throws a spear at him. And David ends up running, and David ends up spending years on the run from Saul as he leads an army around. And David was hiding in caves, and Saul was hunting him down. And in all of those times, David had a rough life. But God was building him up for the position the whole time. Now, by contrast, Solomon was born into the palace. And Solomon was chosen to succeed David. He still had to fight for that throne. He still had to hold back his brothers that were trying to claim the throne. But Solomon took control. Now, let's go back to, we were looking at Psalm 144. Take a look. David says, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above and rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children." Now look at Psalm 63. We see David praising God and putting his trust in God. Let's see if I got the right one here. We're going to kind of work our way back. Psalm 63, he says, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with the marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." Now, that's quite a contrast from Ecclesiastes, where Solomon says, "All is vanity and vexation." In Psalm 42, he says, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God, when I shall come and appear before him." And in verse 3, he says, "My tears have been my meat day and night." In Psalm 28, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle." Oftentimes you'll see David in a sadness, in a depression, in fear of what's going on around him, and surrounded by enemies. Yet when he gets to the end of the psalm, he ends on a positive note. He ends trusting in God for help. He says, toward the end of that, he says, The Lord is my strength, verse 7, and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed." So we see that contrast between David and Solomon. We see that different attitude. We look at Solomon's life, and that's kind of what I'm doing here. Look back at Solomon's life. Look at 1 Kings chapter number 2. Or let's look at 1 Kings chapter number 11. Now Solomon started out well as a king, but as he got later in life, something happened. 1 Kings chapter number 11, verse number 1, it says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. And Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart." Now look at verse number 4. It says, For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. David had a good testimony all the way to the end, even with what happened with Bathsheba. But when Solomon got older in age, all of these wives turned away his heart. Verse number 5, for Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did his father David. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And he commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord had commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant, my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. I will not rend it away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. And there's the beginning of the split of the kingdom. So Solomon was the first king after David. Remember how we talked about in one generation, you can lose your children? Well, Solomon hung on there till he got to the end. And you think, what happened? Because Solomon had every provision that was available. When he took over, David had laid aside the materials for the building of the temple. Solomon was the one that built the temple. Solomon prayed and blessed the temple. When Solomon first took over as king, the Lord showed up to him. Look at 1 Kings chapter number 4. Excuse me, it's 1 Kings chapter number 3. It says, and Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. For that was the great high place of 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. And look at verse number 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him, a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Verse 10, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. I just give you all of that just to paint the picture. It's just putting things together, because we have Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. He said, I gave my heart to do all of this, and all of it is vanity and vexation of spirit. When you read the book of Ecclesiastes, it brings you down a little bit. It talks about it rains on the just and the unjust. It talks about when a man dies, it's no different than when an animal dies. It's all defeatist. So why is it so different from David's attitude? Is it because he was wealthy? Solomon had wealth and riches beyond compare. The gold, the trade that was the import, export that was going on, the cedars that he was able to trade. He had a full life. The building of the temple took 7 years. His own house took 13 years. And it talks about all the glory that went into that temple and all of the carvings and the stones that were prepared ahead of time. David had prepared the materials. God wouldn't let him build the temple, but David had set up all the materials for them to build. And in his youth, Solomon prays a prayer. I think it goes on for two chapters, but Solomon prays a prayer to God and asks him, if we turn to this temple, you'll turn to us and forgive us our sins if we get out of your sight. God comes to Solomon and said, I have heard your prayer. He blesses the temple. So God comes to Solomon that second time. He says, I've visited you two times. Through all of this, through this life, this remarkable life that he had, he gets to the end and he says, all is vanity and vexation. But David, y'all are probably, have y'all already jumped to the end of this? Or are you just trying to figure out where I'm going? David's heart was always toward God. Let's look back at Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 12, he says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out how? By wisdom. He was seeking out answers by his own wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. He said, this sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. He said he saw all the works. He said he turned his heart. He tried mirth. He tried madness. He tried all of these things. And his conclusion, verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor. He built great works. He built the temple. He built his house. And for those 700 wives, he had the resources to build them each a house of worship. He said, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. There was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath already been done? But he declares that it's all vexation of spirit. It's all madness. The first thing he did was he sought with his own wisdom. In this life, there's nothing wrong with having riches. There's nothing wrong with having God's blessings. And I would say in this message, don't let the blessings knock you out. Solomon had every blessing you could have. But it was those blessings that knocked him out. For David, being on the run, having the hard life, he was constantly turning to God in prayer. And what Solomon didn't he lost touch with God. He reaches a point where everything's about what he's done. Nothing's about what God has done. Too much mountaintop, not enough valley. There's a good one there. And that's exactly what happened. And he has the ability. I thank God sometimes that I'm so poor. Because there would probably be things that I would do if I could afford it that would just get me into trouble. A new boat, whatever. But it's not the riches that send you to hell, or it's not the riches that condemn you. It's not the riches that take you out of God's favor. It's your trust and your reliance on Him. Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the gates of heaven, right? And he wasn't saying because he's rich. He said because a rich man will rely on his own resources. Solomon relied on his own wisdom. When you get over into 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, Paul talks about that wisdom. He talks about God's wisdom and he talks about man's wisdom. In chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says the foolishness of God is what? Wiser than the oh, man. I thought I had my memory back. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 1, if you want. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And when we rely on our own wisdom, we're relying on a defective source. I give y'all an illustration from this week. We had a blessing this week. And me and Dee decided it's best not to talk too much about it because people went without power so long. I called Miss Gay, and she was just like, all right, we're done with this. You take care of it. I've still got all this. Dee Dee was at a grocery store. There was a woman there. She was talking to another woman and about, yeah, we got power on, but we still don't have internet. And the woman, there was a woman standing there, and her hair is kind of stringy and, you know, kind of sweat pouring off, three kids bouncing around. She's getting some groceries. She looked over at them, and she said, you got electricity? She said, forget about the internet. But, I mean, the tree fell down in our yard. We didn't have a chainsaw. We knew our landlord probably wouldn't be able to take care of it. But we get out there. Dee Dee and the kids get out there while I'm at work, and they're cutting the branches off, right? You got to start somewhere. They cut the small branches off, and they had a pretty good pile going by the time I got home. I got home, and I pulled out the sawzall. I bought a new blade, you know. I don't have a chainsaw, but I could, you know what a sawzall is? Nice and long. I put a 12-inch blade on the end for cutting wood. I got that thing on there and cut the branches off. He said, what's the point of this story? Just hang with me. But then the saw fell and the handle broke because it was old. I tried using it with that broken handle, watching for the electric cord, you know, make sure I wasn't grabbing the cord. But then it just dissolved in my hand. It's like, that's not happening. I had bought a bow saw along with those. So I had that bow saw, and I was out there working it. Man, my arms were like noodles. You know, that's not something I'm not a lumberjack. But we cut, and we got it. We got it off the fence like our neighbor asked us to. We got it off the fence, and we got it added to the pile, a great big old pile from that tree. And then the next day I come home, and I got the batteries charged up for the battery-powered sawzall from work. I'm going to try that, right? I get out there, and it's going pretty good. And then I pull it out. Okay, that's not working. So I go in the house, and I get the bow saw. Dee Dee's in there resting. They've been working on it during the day, you know. But this is day two, and we're going to get what we can. I don't know how we're going to get that middle part. So I go out there, and I'm sawing away on some of the smaller branches that are left, you know. And Dee Dee and Megan are sitting there at the table. Now, back in May, we went and saw a movie called Unsung Hero. And in that movie, they came from Australia to here based on a job offer, but they didn't get the job offer. So they're in an empty house, a great big old empty house. And they got together and they said, this is what we got. They set down a jar of money. They said, this is what we got. Sometimes there's going to be more, sometimes less, but we can't let it get empty. So we're going to pray and ask God to carry us through this. And they started a prayer wall. One side was ask, I think, and the other side was thanks. And they would write down the prayer request and put it on the ask side. And when God answered it, they'd put it over on the thanks side. We were driving home. I said, well, that would be pretty cool. So Dee Dee put one up at our house. So Dee Dee and Megan are sitting there, and I'm out there working, sweating, you know. But Dee Dee and Megan are sitting there at the table, and they said, Dee Dee said, I don't know how we're going to get this tree cut. You know, we don't have a chainsaw. We we really didn't have the money to hire anybody to cut it, you know. Said, well, you know, let's pray about it and let's put it on the wall. So they prayed about it, and she wrote tree on the tag, and she hung it up, and then she said, is that a chainsaw? And she hears something outside. Well, let me tell you about my part of it. I'm out there, and I'm cutting on that branch, and this truck goes driving by. They were assessing damage, I found out later. But they go driving by, and I'm just cutting, whatever, you know. They're doing what they're doing, and they get to the end, and then they come back. I just keep cutting, just sawing, like I'm doing something. But, I mean, I am. And then they stop and get out, and the guy says, hey, man, we're going to cut that for you. And I say, really? You know, and then the fella gets out. He's got those chaps, and he's got this four-foot blade on his chainsaw. It was so pretty. And he gets over there, and that branch that I've been working on for the last 10, he chopped that thing. he worked his way down, and he stayed back, got it. He cut, and pretty soon it's just laying in sections on the ground, you know. We'd take the branches and haul them over to the pile. But I didn't know anything about what was going on inside till later, you know. So she's sitting in there, and she says, let's pray about it. And she hangs the tag up on the wall, and then she hears a chainsaw outside, and they're cutting up our tree. Now, I know people are going through bad things, and I thought about it all week. It rains on the just and the unjust, and there's different times that God blesses, you know. But, man, this was just a story I just could not tell. And that's the thing. See, when we rely on our own wisdom, and when we try to figure things out for ourselves, it doesn't mean that you have to check your brain at a Christian door. It doesn't mean that you have to give up on anything that you know in order to serve God. But what it does mean is you don't let that get in the way of serving God. I think of Solomon and those wives. They all came with their gods and their little idols and things like that. And Solomon didn't lead them to the Lord. Matter of fact, it's a perfect picture of you think you're going to change the crowd, you'll find out the crowd will change you. And day after day, as Solomon made his rounds, I don't know how it worked, don't want to know how it worked, but as he made his rounds and he had the money, he had the ability to do whatever he wanted, so he built them all a house. He wanted them happy. They all had their little place of worship, the different gods, Ashtoreth, and all the other gods that were listed. And he built the house. And he would go and visit. And, well, you should pray with me, Solomon. Okay. What difference is it going to make? So he kills a calf and offers it up to that god. What difference is it going to make? And, you know, pretty soon maybe he's got a little icon he carries with. I don't know. But I know that God was fed up with it. And God said, no, Solomon, I'm going to take the kingdom from you. This isn't the right way to go. And if you read on, Jerusalem, Israel, they had problems with other gods from then on. The kingdom was split up, but God kept his promise. And that's one of the greatest pictures of eternal security you can have, is that God kept his promise to David through all of that and through all of those generations. So hang on to that. But Solomon gets to the end of his life and he says, I used my wisdom because I got a lot of it. I looked on my experience because I got a lot of that. And I've done a lot of things. And it should matter more than it does. I built buildings. I had many wives. I had import and export, that's what I'm calling it. But we had cedars. They were as plentiful as the sycamore trees, it said. And he had gold coming in from Tarshish. He had kings and queens that would come and visit him. The Queen of Sheba came and visited him and saw all of the things that he had and lifted him up. He said, I've had all of this. I've done all of this in my life. And, you know, I've thought about that. Someone you love passes away and you remember that life with them. You remember the things that you did with them. You remember the time that you spent with him. And he comes to the conclusion. He says, all is vanity and vexation. He repeats vanity so many times. And what is vanity? It's something that you thought was good, but it's really nothing. You think more of yourself, you're vain, you lift yourself up, and it's really nothing. But he put his trust in his own self through all of that. When you go into the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he talks about how he's a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He talks about training at the foot of Gamaliel. Is it Gamaliel? And he talks about how he kept the law, how he was blameless in the law. And he kept all of that. He was talking about his status with the council and all of that. Because the council had trusted him so much, they gave him a commission to go out and persecute the Christians. He thought that he was doing God a favor. Paul has all this knowledge about the Bible. Paul has all this knowledge about the law, probably more than most of the people he was around. But he said, I count it as dung that I may gain Christ. Look at Philippians chapter number 3. So you can put your eyes on it. Philippians chapter number 3. Verse number 3 says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. In other words, if anybody could rely on his own abilities, it's me. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And we'll stop it there. I'll start preaching out of that passage. But Paul says, I count all that but dung that I may know the excellent and may have a knowledge of Christ, that I may get closer to Christ. It's not being rich that takes you away from God. It's not the blessings that take you away from God. But you can allow those blessings to knock you out of your walk. So Solomon relied on himself. And he reaches the end and he says, all is vanity. When we look at his father David and when we look at Solomon, we see one who followed the Lord with his heart. Time and time again, David said, the Lord is my refuge. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He turned to the Lord for all things. But Solomon turned to his own resources. Solomon turned to himself. And despite Solomon's great wisdom, he struggled to see God. Now, I said it's not checking your brain at the door. It's not that you have to be stupid to be a Christian, right? Jesus said, whosoever will come unto me as a little child, it's having faith in the Lord. And where is that faith? Well, how does that apply? When you use your own wisdom, you're reaching back into your memory. And you're saying, well, I remember this interaction with this person, and I'm kind of seeing something similar now. And you're making a decision based on that. Amen? You say, we were in this problem before, and I remember how we got out of this before. This is how it can happen. But when you're trusting the Lord, saying, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this. My wisdom doesn't even apply in this. But Lord, I'm going to trust you for this. And just watch you work. It was so great seeing the way that wall worked. I put up a couple more prayer requests. But when God does something, it's not in a way that you can imagine. when Dee Dee and Megan are sitting there and they're talking, they're not saying, well, you know, they might have been thinking, well, you know, maybe somebody will loan us a chainsaw, or maybe I don't want to borrow somebody's chainsaw. Two-cycle engines, I'm terrible. But maybe this will happen. Maybe that will happen. And we come up with ways for God to solve things, but nowhere in their imagination, nowhere in their table was, as soon as I hang this tag up, I'm going to hear a chainsaw out in the front yard, and they're going to be slicing that tree up. Amen? All right. You'll stand.